subverts and beyond. 830 WEEU Reading.
It's a bluebird day here in Jack's backyard. So come on in and chat with us a while.
It's time for Jack's Backyard on the Voice of Berks County, 830 AM WEEU. Views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, ownership, or sponsors of 830 AM WEEU. And now, here's the host of Jack's Backyard, Jack Holcomb.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning. Time to swing open the gate for another edition of Jack's Backyard here on 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. As always, a pleasure to have you with us for another 2 hours of nature adventures. Yours truly, Jack Holcomb, along with producer Sean Tansky today. He is on loan from Feedback, thanks to Bill Saunders. Anyway, we're eagerly awaiting the chance to talk and learn from you on this 20th day of April. What a week it has been. New birds all over the place, and I thank you all for your emails and updates. Where do I begin? Well, I have a list sent to me by a listener, but I also want to tell you about my emails. I had two reports of hummingbirds near Philadelphia, a number of warblers, gnatcatchers, kinglets, catbirds, brown thrashers, loons at Blue Marsh, plus migrating osprey, eagles, and other raptors. And thanks for all of the reports. And by the way, the email address is jkhbird@aol.com. jkhbird@aol.com. We have a special guest joining us today in the second hour of the program. Heather Peterson, the new owner of Wild Birds Unlimited, will be with us. And we welcome back Wild Birds as a sponsor in the backyard. Looking forward to our conversation with Heather. In the meantime, those telephone lines are open for you, 610-374-8800, or toll free 888-401-0459. The numbers to keep in mind as we wander through these 2 hours with you right here in the backyard. It's going to be a nice day. It's going to turn out to be a nice day. Have a little faith. Yes, indeed. Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, it's Earth Day at City Park. The annual Earth Day Berks County will be held today, City Park in the Banshee area, from noon to 6 p.m., and it is being held rain or shine. And I think it's going to shine for that event today. You can be going to be, I guess, a high will be in the 60s with a little breeze. There will be activities for kids, food trucks, live music all day, and lots of vendors and organizations which represent good health for our earth and our community. The amazing event has been held in Berks since 1989. So today, you have a chance to celebrate Earth Day in Berks at City Park. Noon to 6 p.m., go and enjoy and meet nice people who are concerned about our Earth, as I know you are. Well, let's see, the Baird Ornithological Club has a trip tomorrow, a hike, at Union Meadows for early migrants beginning at 8 o'clock. Spring migrants, including early warblers, an easy walk on the wide, flat trail through the wooded and open field habitats. Meet at Union Meadows East parking lot. The Schuylkill River Trail, Route 724, East Main Street in Monocacy, 2 miles east of Birdsboro. Rudy Keller and Linda Ingram will be leading that walk today. And from the east parking lot, 100 Campbell Ford Road in Douglasville. So that's tomorrow, I should say. Tomorrow, Sunday, at 8 o'clock. Early migrants. And you'll have expert leaders showing you the way and identifying all of the birds that will pop in for you to enjoy. Next Saturday, there'll be a Family Nature Fest, a free family event next week presented by the Union Township, Robeson Township Environmental Advisory Committee. And that will be held, rain or shine, next Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Union Meadows East, which is 100 Campbell Forge Road, Douglasville, just behind Fork and Ale. There will be live animal demonstrations. There will be crafts, free food and drink, and a lot of vendors for that event. Berks County Conservation District, Hawk Mountain Sanctuary, Baird Ornithological Club, Pennsylvania Bat Rescue, Penn State Master Gardeners, just a whole group of people there ready to share the Nature Fest with you next Saturday, Union Meadows East, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Go and enjoy. The Quitapahilla Audubon Society up there in Lebanon County has a special program, their monthly program, April 24th. The program is titled Creating Sustainable Livelihoods and Promoting Forest Conservation in the Peruvian Amazon with Fair Trade Bird Handicrafts. Dr. Campbell Plowden founded the nonprofit group Amazon Ecology in 2006 to help forest peoples create sustainable livelihoods, strengthen traditional communities, and promote forest conservation in the Amazon forest. So that will be at 7 p.m. on April 24th. The programs are held at Trinity Lutheran Church, located at 723 Lehman Street near Monument Park. The church has a large, well-lit parking lot for that. So that will be the program, 7 o'clock on April 24th. So go and enjoy that program and learn, perhaps I might add, too. Okay? Well, let's see. Let's continue. I want to mention something else. Did I say the... I have something else. No. I have something else from them, which I will find in a moment. Okay. Hawk Mountain Sanctuary. Hawk Mountain Sanctuary tomorrow, April 21st. Watersheds. What are they? Why should we care? What can we do? Tomorrow afternoon, 2 to 3 p.m., it is a free program. Join Steve Terracchio, Master Watershed Steward and Chairperson of the Talpahakan Creek Watershed Association, for an introduction to the watershed concept, how it relates to Hawk Mountain, and water quality. Registration is required for this program tomorrow, 2 to 3 p.m., and Steve, apologies for not pronouncing your name correctly. So that will be held at the Visitor Center tomorrow, and to register for all of the Hawk Mountain programs, just go to hawkmountain.org. Tuesday, April 23rd, member exclusive, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. For $20, you can join Hawk Mountain President Sean Grace and a Hawk Mountain educator for a hike to North Lookout to view the sunset after meeting a live nocturnal education raptor. Registration required for that, members only. So that will be Tuesday the 23rd, and you meet at the Visitor Center. I don't know if there are any tickets left. I was not notified of this earlier, But on Friday the 26th, Rosalie's Ramble, which is a New York City bus tour up to Central Park to observe birds in that area, which, by the way, is a good birding place, and it's part of the 90th anniversary celebration at Hawk Mountain. But you can check to see if there are any openings by just going to hawkmountain.org, hawkmountain.org, for more information on that trip. Next Saturday at the mountain, how about National Go Birding Day? National Go Birding Day, 8 to 10 a.m. next Saturday morning, $5, and it's free for members. You can enjoy a guided birding experience with Hawk Mountain staff and volunteers. The slow-paced outing will take place in and around the visitor center and the native plant garden. Registration is required, and you can meet at the visitor center and to register, hawkmountain.org. The Lancaster County Bird Club has a walk next Saturday, April 27th. The venue is Octororo Reservoir. From several vantage points, including Bluegill and Liberty Roads, with a 7 a.m. start early, wetland birds and migrants are the focus. For more information on that early hike next Saturday, just go to LancasterBirdClub.org, LancasterBirdClub.org. Berks Nature has a program for their homeschool students, NSI and TRI Adventure, Tuesday, April 23rd, 10 to 11:30 a.m., $10 per child. During the April program, students will begin to learn about science and learning animals and their habits, even some face-to-face. So that will be next Tuesday, 10 to 11 a.m. For more information and registration, you can go to berksnature.org. Well, let's see. The Schuylkill County Conservancy, next Saturday, 10 to 11 a.m., a whisper walk. A whisper walk. Five senses walk at Frog Hollow. And Frog Hollow Nature Area, Stone Mountain Road, Pine Grove, Pennsylvania. Use your five senses to hear, smell, observe, and touch nature. No pets permitted on this walk. So that will be next Saturday, 10 to 11 a.m. at Frog Hollow Nature Center, Stone Mountain Road, Pine Grove, Pennsylvania. And that will do it for our current events this morning right here in the backyard. Remember, if your organization is sponsoring any kind of nature event, we'll be more than happy to publicize it for you absolutely free of charge. But I need the information. The very best way to get it to me is through my email, jkhbird@aol.com. That's jkhbird@aol.com. If you don't have a computer or access to one, you can just put the information on a postcard, put it in a letter, and send it to Jack's Backyard, WEEU, 34 North 4th Street, Reading, Pennsylvania, 19601. Jack's Backyard, WEEU, 34 North 4th Street, Reading, Pennsylvania, 19601. I'd like the information 1 week, 2 weeks in advance would be perfect. And 99.5% of you comply with that, and I am most grateful. Well, that's our telephone numbers, by the way, in case you forgot. 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll-free, 888-401-0459. And those lines are open for you, you, and you too, on this 20th day of April, 2024. Well, as I mentioned on my opening this morning, I received a letter from a steady listener and caller, Andy, who you've heard. He is the wandering naturalist who wanders all over the world looking for birds. And he sent me a list that was compiled by him through the courtesy of many people who saw some great birds on their hikes, on their walks. And so a lot's going on. There was, we begin with Saturday. Sandhill cranes flew over Blue Marsh last Saturday. Sunday, someone reported a little blue heron. which along the Roland Road and Retention Pond in Hamburg, cliff swallows, Ottolani, a northern Perula warbler in Exeter Township, lesser yellow legs in Fleetwood, a solitary sandpiper in Shoemakersville, a wood thrush at Noldy. Also on Tuesday, yellow-throated warbler in Douglasville, a yellow warbler in Hamburg, black-throated blue warbler in Douglasville, blue-winged warbler, State Game Lands 280. And then on Wednesday, a Baltimore Oriole at Ottolani. And Thursday, a warbling vireo was reported. So there you have it. There's a scissor-tailed flycatcher reported up in the Harrisburg area, I guess, yesterday. So their birds are coming, popping up all over the place. Remember, early morning is the time to see them. But, you know, if they're hungry, they'll be around for a while. And I emphasize that because once the leaves start to pop, it's more difficult to see some of those birds as they move around the trees. Okay, 610-374-8800. Out of the area, it is toll-free, 888-401-0459. And let's go to the phones and say good morning to Kathy. How are you today, young lady?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Jack?
Well, I guess I'm okay. I'm up and about. I had my two cups of coffee and ready to go.
Good, good. I'm glad. I was observing this week, they look like little sparrows, but that coloring with the speckled black and brown, but they had like distinct yellow on the top of their heads, yellow stripes. Let me read what I wrote. The pear gray underneath, yellow points on the top of their head coming from their beak, black and white stripes on their head, and there was a little bit of yellow in those black and white stripes, but the rest of them were the sparrow color, and they were about that size. But then there were some plain ones without that that seemed a little bigger.
Well, the one that you described is the white-throated sparrow.
Oh, and they have yellow on?
Yes,
yellow?
There's a little, yeah.
Oh.
That's right. That's correct.
Okay. I thought maybe they were like goldfinches getting their male, getting their colors or something.
I haven't noticed that this yet. Have you?
Oh.
The goldfinches changing?
I don't, because I don't really know how that happens, because I really haven't observed it much. So, I'll look up the white-throated sparrow in my book.
Yeah, the other ones certainly are sparrows. Which kind did you, any identifying marks on them?
No, I didn't look at them that closely. And they had a black beak. And then I also saw a robin that had a white circle around its eye, which I hadn't observed not that I observed that many closely, but any other robins. It was a very distinct white circle.
Yeah.
That unusual?
I had a report, was it last week or week before last, of the robin with a little white around the eye.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Jack. I'll keep looking. See what happens. That bird in my book.
I think your backyard will be a little more active as we near May. I think that's going to happen, Kathy.
Oh, it's been pretty good. We had brown thrashers.
Good.
And the cardinal comes. I really haven't seen too many female cardinals. But now, when do the birds start having their hatchlings?
Well, right now they're mating. Right now the love circle is on, so that has begun.
All right. Thank you, Jack.
Glad you called. You too, Kathy. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard, and I'm glad you're along with us today here on this program. Yeah, the birds have started gathering nesting material. The finches and the cardinals the males are feeding the females, and it's a wonderful time of year, he said. Good morning, Avery. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. I'm good. I just wanted to let any of your listeners know that Monday we were over at the Green Lane Bay Bird Sanctuary. It's off of Church Road, or you could view the eagle sitting on the nest off of 663. And you could see the eagle sitting there plain as day. It's a good sighting. And if people are interested, any of your listeners would like to go over there if they're in the area near Pennsburg. It's a very good view. You could sit there and watch the eagle. It's just a beautiful sighting. And I just wanted to let your listeners and everybody know about it.
Well, I appreciate that, young lady. And I'm Green Lane is really it's a productive area for birds. So I'm glad that you had a chance to get there.
Yes. And I want to wish you a happy birthday coming up because I'm born in May, too. You're going to be 91. I'm going to be 88. But keep the old heart pumping, Jack.
You're keeping track. I'm trying to forget it.
Well, if you keep your heart pumping, it's going to keep our heart pumping. So with that, have a good day. God bless.
You too, Avery. Thanks so much for the call. This is The Backyard. All righty. Let's see here. Well, let's go here. Okay. Linda is up next. Linda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good to hear from you.
Good. I just wanted to report we saw our first hummer on Tuesday here in Bourne Township, and our goldfinches are changing a beautiful color to yellow.
Oh, great. By the way, I think, as I recall, the only reports of hummingbirds I had previously were in the Philadelphia area, so you're the first one in Berks.
Well, we were delighted to see it Tuesday. I can't say I've seen it since, but at least we did see it. On Tuesday, it spent quite a bit of time at the feeder, just happy to sit there and look around. It was a joy to watch it. I think he sat there for probably at least 5 minutes.
Oh, that's great. So that's wonderful.
It was great to see. So they're here.
and the goldfinch are churning, which I have not seen, so that is good news as well.
Oh, yes. We've seen some beautiful, beautiful yellow males. Around, so we're enjoying those as well.
Well, I wish you more birds at this time of year.
Thank you, Jack. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Linda. Glad to talk to you. This is bye-bye. This is Jack's backyard. Oh, let's take care of some business. Do you mind? I think that's very important. It keeps us going here in the backyard.
Back to more of your calls on Jack's Backyard, here on The Voice, 830 a.m. WEEU.
Yes, and right now, friends, it is 53 degrees. Good forecast, especially for the Earth Day program up there in City Park today from noon to 6 p.m. Good day to get out and celebrate the Earth and learn more how you can help it at Earth Day, 12 to 6 at City Park. Fanshawe area. It's free. It's absolutely free of charge. By the way, I want to mention before I forget it, we have podcasts now, of course, for you at 830weeu.com, and that includes Jack's Backyard. And also the rebroadcasts Sunday mornings from 8 until 10. So tomorrow you'll hear last week's program, and next week you'll hear this week's program, Sunday mornings, rebroadcast right here on WEEU, The Voice of Berks and Beyond. Well, let's see what our friend Dutch Henry has been up to. Howdy, friends. Gone are the juncos, but goldfinches flaunt their summer splendor, as do bluebirds, cardinals, and towhees. The woods are alive with color and song. High above, from the tallest, still, bare oak, a robin sends out its splendid trill to drift gently down to the waiting years. The earliest hummingbirds dart, squeak, and buzz at feeders. Yellow swallowtail butterflies sample lilac buds not yet fully open. Remember, he's in Appomattox, Virginia, so that's why he has all of these good things. In Rosie's two-acre wood, that Rosie is his horse. They play, it's his play on Christopher Robin's 100-acre wood, stands the tallest redbud tree I know of in full and glorious bloom. Walking beneath it, I hear the buzzing of bees. Rosie and I stopped briefly to admire a tiny wild violet offering a delicate purple flower from within the sheltering hollow of an old stump. Have a spectacular day, and God bless. Giddy up, Dutch. Thank you, Dutch, for sharing that this morning. Truly a wonderful picture of spring. And there is more to come, which I'm sure you're very much aware of. I don't know how many of you have checked out birdcast.org. I did notice this week migration, because you can find out the numbers of birds migrating through the night. There were like 25,000 on Thursday, and I'm trying to think of some of the others. There were 49,000 Monday, 261,000 on Tuesday, and 32,500 on Wednesday. I think there were 27,000 overnight to last night. So there you have it. So check out Birdcast. It's free, birdcast.org, birdcast.org. Well, let's see. It's coming up on 8:30, and you know what that means. It is time for our good friend Bill Urich to say good morning.
As everybody approaches 8:30 a.m. with a sense of impending doom.
Not at all.
Oh, my goodness. But good morning, Jack, and happy spring and everything. It's all starting to happen, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's really rolling through. I still haven't. Now, I've given up on the Louisiana water thrush up in the Rose Creek. I've taken several walks there in the past week, and I guess it's maybe skipping that area this year, but, you know, I'll still keep an eye on it. Don't have a chimney swift yet either. I always like to celebrate my first chimney swift sighting, but The celebration will be on hold. Maybe today, down at Earth Day at City Park, we'll might see a chimney swift swooping around overhead, maybe, hopefully.
That would be a treat, yes.
Yes. That list that Andy provided was nice. The that yellow-throated warbler is something that's been hanging out down there. That's a cool bird to get. That's not seen really. That's not very common around here. I don't know if that's seen every year or not, but for those who want to get one on their list for the spring, that's the one that's hanging around. So that's an interesting bird.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, a couple other fascinating sightings was, of course, the little blue heron, because that's one of those birds that we go, well, you know, we name a bird after what it looks like, and we sort of get surprised a little bit later, because the little blue heron doesn't occur in Berks County all that often in the spring when it's in the breeding plumage, and so to get an opportunity to see a little blue heron in breeding plumage would be really great. And that's, I think it's been hanging around up there. I don't know if it was seen yesterday, but it's been hanging around up there at the Lowland Lake up in up above Hamburg for almost a week. So that's exciting to be able to see one in breeding plumage, because, you know, they're mostly arrive at Berks County. When they do, they're kind of their regular. When they do arrive, it's usually in the fall during the post-breeding dispersal, and it's usually the immature birds. And the immature birds, and this is where it's really something for if a bird watcher is leading a group and a novice bird watcher is along, and you say, well, out there, there's a little blue heron, it would cause a little bit of cognitive dissonance for that newer birder, because the little blue heron in fall is, the ones that we get around here are all white. So it's one of those things that, you know, I'll just get on this one again, but about changing the names of birds to more or less describe their characteristics is kind of a fraught enterprise, and the little blue heron is one of those, because it should be called the little blue heron except the immature, the little blue except for the immature white heron, you know. So, but yeah, that's one of those fascinating things that it's a completely reversed color scheme among the immature birds and the adult bird. So it's really cool to see an adult bird and see an immature bird and see the quite stark contrast in the two phases of the bird. Another thing happening that was really interesting was a king rail was found in a retention pond up at Kutztown University. I guess Todd Underwood went out and confirmed it. An entomology class, from what I got from eBird, was out and found this bird in a retention pond. And it was there just for a day. So that's the rails are really secret. To be able to see a rail in Berks County is really unusual, too. And what was really interesting about the king rail is its history in Berks County, because it needs those large marshy habitats. And back, way back in the day, like Levi Mengel found it nesting in Berks County out at Blue Marsh. And Earl Poole, you know, when Lake Onawani was still pretty marshy, found the king rails nesting here in the 20s and the 30s. And there wasn't really any records, but other king rail, until Ken LeBeau found one at Glen Morgan Lake, because that has that extensive, really cattail habitat. But the thing is, Glen Morgan Lake isn't accessible anymore, and so it's really hard to know whether they're getting any rails down there. But that was a really great sighting too, because to be able to see something like that, and it's not really that common, and it's extremely rare to see a king rail in Berks County anymore. So a lot of good stuff is happening this week, and hopefully it'll continue as the migration swoops through. I was glad to hear there were cliff swallows came back to Lake Onawani, and we'll have to keep track of that, see what the number of nesting birds there. That seemed to be a bird in decline the last few years, and it's always good to keep track of those cliff swallows.
Very good. Excellent report, young man. And I think reports will be more bountiful as we reach through May.
I hope so. I hope to get my chimney swift today, tomorrow, and then we can rejoice next week that the chimney swifts are back.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
Okay. Take care. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bill Urich, ladies and gentlemen, right here in the backyard. 610-374-8800. Out of the area, it is toll-free, 888-401-0459. Don't forget, we have Phillies baseball today, Phillies White Sox. Comes your way about 6:05 tonight, right here on your sports leader. I did note the question about nesting materials, so forth and so on. And you can actually, there are some tips that I got from, I believe it was Audubon, or maybe it was Birdwatcher's Digest. But anyway, be on the lookout for nesting birds. We talked about the mating earlier, and then, of course, following mating, we have nesting birds. And you can watch, one of the tips they offer, watch for birds making a mess. With birds with a mouthful of grass, pulling threads from outdoor rugs, etc., they will kind of clue you in that they're nest building. Busy bird chatter also is another interesting note. If a bird has nesting material in its beak, watch where it goes. If you find a nest, keep a record of what is going on. So a few tips there for you. And check out the nesting birds, which certainly some are enjoying that process right this very moment. Right now it is 23 minutes before the hour of 9. We're in hour number 1 of The Backyard right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. Remember, about 9:15 this morning, we'll be chatting with Heather Peterson, the new owner of Wild Birds Unlimited. So we'll be learning more about Wild Birds Unlimited and her take on bird watching and nature as well. Okay, back to the phones we go. And let's say good morning to Cynthia in Exeter Township. Cynthia, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you, Jack?
Well, I am fine. Thank you for asking.
Good. Well, first I want to apologize over the radio. If Nancy James is listening, she graciously offered her telephone number to discuss bluebird houses, and it's been a crazy week here. So I do want to get back to her, but this week was busy. I did get a chance to meet Andy P. and Adam Runkel at the home show.
Yes, last Saturday.
Yep, and chatted with them for a while, and they're both. It's nice to put a face to a name and a face to a voice.
Yes, indeed.
But I also saw my first bright yellow goldfinch.
Okay.
And it was, I haven't seen it since, but then again, I ran out of sunflower seeds, so I have to fix that today. but it was, they do like the sunflower seeds, and it was a pair, a female and a male, and he was, except for the very part near his tail, he was bright yellow.
Oh, nice, nice.
So that's always good to see.
Yes, indeed. And this time of year, I have not seen that yet. But we had a previous caller that also described that. So that's nice. Welcome back, that colorful goldfinch. Makes it easier to identify.
Yes, and I've got to hustle and get my hummingbird feeders out too. Wow.
Oh yes.
Burn Township. I want to get them out.
Thanks for mentioning that. It is that time. Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, that would be neat, especially since the males migrate first?
I believe so, yes, to establish territory, yes.
Yes, that would be pretty to see, because I often see a female who is raising a brood, because then I see the juveniles later on, but I don't often see the male, so he has to be there somewhere. There are juveniles, but...
He comes in, does the job, and then leaves.
Apparently. Yeah, there's a lot of nesting going on, and I don't know, I hear an awful lot of Barry White songs being played out in the yard as the birds get it together here. So it'll be interesting to see what nests turn up in the different trees. I never plan tree work when it's spring and summer, because you never know what you might disturb.
That's right. So. That's right. We're supposed to have a cold weather tonight, and I think tomorrow, early in the morning.
Yes.
Is that a kind of a warning for plants? I'm not sure of that. Yeah. I don't know how. Okay.
Well, it depends. If they're predicting, I always tell customers at Glick's Greenhouse, if it's going to be down in the mid to upper 30s, and they're predicting that for Redding, especially if you live outside of Redding, it never hurts to cover the plants and cover them with cloth, not plastic.
Yeah.
It never hurts. And, you know, if it does get colder, then you've protected your plants. The best thing is to wait for frost tender plants to plant them after Mother's Day. But
that's the clue, isn't it? Mother's Day is the key.
Mother's Day, May 10th to 15th, although last year we had a heavy frost on May 20th. So every once in a while, nature plays a trick on us.
Yes, indeed.
But it's hard to hold off when the weather is nice. So I can't blame people for buying their tomatoes and peppers and frost tender flowers now, but it's best to hold off.
Well, I appreciate that advice, young lady. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But I know it's hard because I usually put a few out and then run out and cover them myself. So what can you say?
Well, I wish you some bluebirds.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. The moth seems to have disappeared from my bluebird house. So I'm not sure what happened to the chickadee. I'm worried a predator might have gotten in. But I did see chickadees nesting in a little house I have out in the front yard. So we'll have chickadee babies.
Okay. Enjoy, and thanks for sharing. Take care.
Yes. Take care, Jack.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. Saturday mornings right here between Animal Radio and Classic Rock, which comes your way following the news at 10 right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. And let's go right back to the phone and say good morning to Carrie. She's in Douglasville. Carrie, how are you?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Yes, thank you for making
it. The woman was speaking before. I was watching something on PBS, and it was about raptors.
Yes.
And it was called A Fistful of Daggers. And they went on about the raptors. Now, they talked about a secretary bird in the savannas. Now, that they said that was the only bird that would bring water to their young.
Yes, in Africa, yes.
Yes. Did you know that?
I saw the program.
Oh, it's a great program.
Yes.
They should show that in school. It really should.
Yeah, it's a two-part program on PBS, and it really is extremely educational.
Yes, I agree. But I, too, want to wish you a happy Bluebird's birthday. My nephew, Josh, his birthday will be coming up also. And, the gentleman who was shooing the snapping turtle, it was about the inner size of a toilet. Thank you very much, off of Lincoln Road. It went to bite him twice. But it didn't get him, so...
You don't fool around with snapping turtles.
No, he was getting them off the road so he wouldn't get hit.
That's good. That's very nice.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Yes.
But even though it's raining, we still need the water for the birds. And everybody have a bluebird weekend and get out. Oh, and today is 420. Smokers unite, if anybody out there smokes. they approach. Protest at Washington, so...
Okay.
Whatever.
All right. You take good care.
All right. Have a good weekend. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. This is The Backyard. 610-374-8800. Out of the area, it is toll-free, 888-401-0459. And whatever you do, don't forget the weekday programming right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. Mornings with Mike and Bob, Mike Keller, Bob McCool, 6 to 9. Start your day with a smile. Feedback, of course, follows that program with the one, the only, Bill Saunders. What a great mind he has. He's on from 9 till noon. Dan Bongino from 12 to 3. And The Ramsey Show, as you heard the promo just a bit ago, from 3 until 6. 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll free, 888-401-0459.
We return to Jack's Backyard. Here's your host, Jack Holcomb.
That would be me, and we're ready to listen to what you have to say today in the program. 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll free, 888-401-0459. Earlier, we were talking about the hummingbirds and the sighting of one in Bern Township, which I greatly appreciate. So that is should be a clue for you to get out those hummingbird feeders. Absolutely. No question about it. And if you don't have one, Wild Birds has a great selection for you. So check it out. Wild Birds Unlimited. Okay? For your hummingbird feeder. They should be out. They should have been out maybe a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, just to be on the safe side. But some warmer weather coming, so we wanted to mention that again. Okay? All righty. It is, 10 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. We're in hour number one of The Backyard right here on WEEU. And I think that I do have time. Yes, I do. I think while I'm waiting for a phone call, I'm going to play you a bird song, if you... So I get requests for these all the time, and I decided today, because of the migration, to go ahead and play the Baltimore Oriole. Beautiful song. I'll let you decide that for yourself, okay? This is the Baltimore Oriole. course, they have several different songs. Here's another one for you. No, we just heard that one. Here's another one. That's the one I'm familiar with more than the others. This is another one. So there you have it. That's songs, calls, combination thereof, the Baltimore Orioles. So keep your ears open because they're coming through. And we want you to have the opportunity to enjoy them. 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll-free, 888-401-0459.
The Voice, 830 WEEU Weather.
Here's the exclusive three-day AccuWeather forecast. Partly sunny, milder, breezy day today. The high at 67. Clear and colder tonight, low 38. And then partly sunny, cool day tomorrow. The high 55. Mostly sunny, a little bit warmer for Monday. The high Monday at 62. This is Steve Williams reporting for News Talk 830 WEEU.
Welcome back to Jack's Backyard on the Voice of Berks County, 830 AM WEEU.
And right now it is 54 degrees, 54 outside your AccuWeather station. That would be WEEU, the Voice of Berks and beyond. And those telephone lines remain open for you. Let me remind you once again about 9:15 this morning. We'll be chatting with Heather Peterson. She is the new owner of Wild Birds Unlimited, and much to talk about and much to learn from her as well. So she'll be joining us at 9:15 or so. And, of course, prior to that, we have master naturalist Mike Slater, who pops in for a good bit of bird knowledge, nature knowledge, if you will. Okay? Well, last week I started to go into a tirade of mockingbird information, which I got from Audubon. Just fascinating stuff. And I guess I got through the first three, and I'm going to quote now. I think I have 10 altogether. A study released in October of 2019 found that in addition to mimicking the calls of other birds and man-made noises like music and machinery, northern mockingbirds have been known to imitate at least 12 different species of North American frogs and toads. In fact, John James Audubon was so in awe of this bird's singing ability, he wrote the Northern Mockingbird in Birds of America, "There is probably no bird in the world that possesses all of the musical qualifications of this king of song, who has derived all from nature's self." I like that. And by the way, we had information, I think Joan shared it, but the mockingbird up in Lehigh County that imitated the fire sirens had the firefighters all wondering what was going on. Let's see here. Let's say good morning. Deb, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
Good to hear from
you. You're doing the same.
I'm trying. Thank you.
I wanted to talk a little about the Merlin app. I have so much fun with it, but it is often wrong. You wouldn't believe the things that I have, it says I have here at times, but I did want to say that every time it'll say I have a towhee, I have a mockingbird, a red-tailed hawk. One time I heard some geese flying over, and then it said I had a great blue heron, but it didn't hear the geese. But the with a towhee, I'm like, I do not have a towhee right now. You know, I mean, I have them sometimes. I don't have one right now. And I was actually looking at it, and I heard the cheep of a house sparrow.
Okay.
And it showed up towhee. Like, their free call, you know, it confused it. Also, I do a lot of bird calls myself.
Good.
And I
did
a great horned owl, and the great horned owl showed up on it. And I don't think I do that good of a great horned owl.
Oh, so don't count on it, Deb.
But anyway, I wanted to ask you some things. If you remember years ago, do you remember when they found a dead dovekie in
yeah.
a field after a storm?
Yes, I do.
Yes, that was a long time ago. Also, do you remember that we always had, it was always called the big day in May?
Yes.
Berks, and it was always on Mother's Day.
Close to it, yes.
It was always on Mother's Day back then, and we started out at the Birdsboro Reservoir. And do you remember there was a birder that always could find a screech owl in those white pines near the Birdsboro Waterworks?
I don't remember that.
He was so good at finding one perched in there. And do you remember the time there was a goshawk nesting up on the way up to the reservoir in Birdsboro?
Yes, I do.
And it was dive-bombing people.
I remember seeing that, yes.
Yes, it was dive-bombing people. I don't know what he was doing. And the last, it didn't last. I mean, it didn't, you know, it didn't go to fruition or anything. And then the one thing I remember, we were at the back of the reservoir. You picked up a big limb and banged on one of the white pine trees, and a flying squirrel looked out.
Yes, I remember
from
that.
The nest.
I remember that.
That was a long time ago, Jack.
Well, I don't remember everything from a long time ago, but I do remember some things.
Yeah. Yeah, at that time, you know, they were so glad that, you know, I was going along because I was younger than most of them. You know, I was late teenager, early 20s, you know, and they were so happy to see somebody younger
yeah.
involved. But
always a joy.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to talk with you, Deb. Thank you so much, and I appreciate the memory.
All right.
Stay well. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. We have to pause for news. That's next from ABC right here on WEEU. And then we'll come right back with Master Naturalist Mike Slater and then Heather Peterson. Those gives you the roadmap of The Backyard coming up on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond.
Return to Jack's Backyard. Here's your host, Jack Holcomb.
Thank you very much, and good to have you along in the backyard. Good morning once again, everyone. The Backyard for you right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. And beginning our second hour, always a pleasure to welcome Master Naturalist Mike Slater. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. I'm doing good.
Good. Did you have a good week?
Yeah, pretty good. No problems. I mean, this is, migration is definitely happening, and I'm glad. The way things are going in the world with human impacts on the world, I'm always glad to see that the migration has survived another year, or at least a lot of them are. Catbirds back, our house wrens are back. I'm sure they're the residents. They act like they own the place.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, when we talk about peak migration, and I think I might have asked this before, because now, of course, the migration has started, but usually it's what, the first week in May, first 2 weeks in May?
Yeah, the first week in May now, I think. But we don't know if the birds will speed up or slow down. I mean, we used to not have leaves on the trees until into the first week of May, so we could see the warblers and other migrants. Now a lot of the leaves are out, starting to grow on the oaks even.
Who wins, the birds or the leaves?
Yeah, well, the leaves are in a race with caterpillars, little oak-eating caterpillars that the birds like to eat. They like to eat the oak flowers and the young leaves before they get much of the bitter tannins in them. So they need to get here if they want those little caterpillars soon enough.
If I were to ask you, you and Jan want to go out bird watching into one spot to see most of the migrants, where would it be?
Well, I've got this thing now. I'd rather go a place I really like to go. I think some good places are like Mount Penn and Angora Fruit Farm, but I like to stay closer to home even though it's not quite as many birds. So I would go to my local Buxton Conservancy early, maybe for a little while, or over to Green Hills Preserve. Or I really like just sitting in our backyard and see what comes to our oak trees.
Would Noldy be a good place to go?
Noldy can be a good place to go, but a lot of the trails are in the deep woods, so you're looking up at the birds if they're up in the treetops. So it's usually better to go to a place where you can look into the treetops without breaking your neck by craning it backwards.
Yeah. Well, this is good. What about raptors? The raptors continue to migrate over the mountain in their spring numbers, which certainly aren't as great as they are in the fall. Is that because they're more sporadic in their movements?
I think it's because they're just more diffuse. They don't follow the aerial highway of the winds along the mountain ridge. So they're just scattered all over because there's a lot going north. They're not as many because the young birds will not have survived the winter, so there won't be quite as many going back in the spring as there were going south in the fall. But it's I think mainly because they're just more spread out. They don't have any reason to concentrate in any one little highway of the sky.
And again, we depend on winds for this?
Right. For everything, the birds are really, they take advantage of the wind. So hawks are going to be migrating on days when there's uplift and puffy clouds and thermals for them to ride, or winds from the south, which helps all migrants. So the last couple nights we've had winds from the east and some southeast, but mostly east and northeast. And that really slows down our migration. It should pick up in a day or two when the next warm front comes and we get winds from the south again. Because the birds mostly, according to BirdCast, are migrating about 2,000 to 3,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And so they get most of the same winds that we're getting at the ground. Not always, but mostly. Oh, one more thing I wanted to mention. You made a mistake that I always do with BirdCast, Jack. It's birdcast.info.
Oh, that's right.
Birdcast.org. But it's best if you just put BirdCast in a Google search, because then it'll get the http://www and whether there's an S or not all right.
Okay. Thank you very much for that reminder. I forgot that.
I do it all the time, and I thought, oh, Jack fell into my trap.
Good to talk to you, Mike. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye, Jack.
Stay well. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. Glad you're along with us today. Our interview with Heather Peterson, owner of Wild Birds Unlimited, the new owner, will be coming up shortly right here after these messages.
8:30 a.m. WEEU.
Yes, that would be us at, it's coming up on 9:15. That's the good morning time right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and Beyond. And time for us to put out the welcome mat for Heather Peterson, owner of Wild Birds Unlimited. Heather, good morning. Thank you for taking time to join us today.
Oh, good morning, Jack. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Welcome to Jack's Backyard, and thanks so much for getting on board as a sponsor. We are most grateful here in the backyard, and we extend a big thank you. Now, In addition to Wild Birds Unlimited in the Springtown Plaza, you also have stores in Wayne and Allentown. Tell us about those.
Yes. So Allentown, the Allentown store, it's right on Tillman Street, just off of 309. And that store actually opened 30 years ago, about the same time as the Thinking Spring store opened.
Okay.
And the two original owners even went to training together at the time. So that's a very well-established store, and it sits in a nice little shopping center, kind of in a corner, so it has a unique shape to it and a whole energy all to itself. So that's a lovely store as well. Wayne I've opened in 2021, I believe it was. So that's a relatively new store. So we're still growing quite a bit and trying to get our name out down there in the community.
Are you often with all of these stores referred to as the Bird Lady?
Yes, I am. I think last night one of my managers said something to me about Heather's Feathers.
I like that. That's very good.
Yeah.
Wild Birds Unlimited offers such a great variety of bird merchandise, plus many other items for the nature lover, which we often forget.
Yes, we do. The bird lover, I think we think of things like bird houses and bird feeders mostly, but there's a lot of bird baths and some decor to put in your garden. There's books, nature books, books about birds, books about other nature books. Trying to think now what we have.
I tell people it's just a great store. You walk in expecting just bird things, and you walk around the store, and there's so much more for every possible bird, every possible problem with birds, et cetera, but also some other very colorful items.
And too, like you said, for bird problems, for solving different issues, and squirrels, and we kind of cover it all.
Thank you for mentioning squirrels. Bird migration, of course, is well underway, as I assume you will be focusing on the nesting season and focusing on hummingbirds and orioles and some of the others.
Yes. Yeah, nesting, nesting season, what a fantastic time in our yards right now with all the activity. And I think, I think people just don't always realize that what's going on in your yard right now is there's so many different aspects to the nesting stages. So between the courtship and the pairing off and the establishing the territories and the fact that the majority of the bird song that you hear right now, I think you touched on this earlier, is really just attracting a mate, creating a territory, calling to a mate. Things like that. So it's so fun to watch the birds and the different activities that you see right now because it sort of changes weekly. And once they get to the point of creating a nest, it's sort of every 2 weeks they create a nest, lay the eggs, incubate, raise the young. It's sort of each pattern takes about 2 weeks. And it requires a lot of attention to the birds and a lot of energy it takes. So we focus a lot on how to create a habitat for the birds, and which can be a natural habitat, but that's like at least six shows that would take us to cover. And, creating nesting opportunities and then also obviously putting up bird houses. And then the second thing that we focus on is the food source for the birds when they're nesting, which is a really, really big issue.
And so you literally go from season to season, taking everything into consideration.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, for instance, right now with nesting, they need three things in their diet. Fat is crucial because they're so busy and they need the energy. Protein is crucial because they need the protein tells them how many eggs to lay, the protein in their diet, how many eggs to lay and how many broods to have. But not only that, the babies need the protein in order to grow up to an adult size and a full a set of feathers in 11 to 14 days because feathers are 95% protein. So they need a lot of protein. And then calcium, which helps the mother with laying the eggs because it requires a lot of calcium. And also it, you get stronger eggs that way. So, but then you move into the end of the summer and they still need the protein because they're molting and they're going to be growing all new feathers, so the adult birds. So yeah, so as you go through the seasons, there's different needs, which our foods take care of.
One thing, one unique product that I have found, and that is the Echo Tough feeders that you have, and I guess houses as well?
Yes. Yeah, we have. They're made from recycled milk jugs, and they're very solidly made. They withstand a tremendous amount of abuse if needed. We see squirrels chewing on them, things like that, but it really doesn't damage them that much. If there's a problem, you bring them in. The majority of them have some sort of a warranty, and we replace the parts. And also, of course, wood rots. This doesn't rot. This will last much, much longer.
Going back to your mention of squirrels, I do know that you have a good number of, quote, squirrel-proof feeders, end quote, and that is something that most people are really looking for.
We do, and I always say we have some that are squirrel-proof and some that are just squirrel-resistant, that the squirrels are smart enough to figure it out over time. But yeah, we have great squirrel-proof feeders that you watch the squirrels, they get frustrated in 5-10 minutes, and then that's it, they're over it. And then, of course, we have seed that has hot pepper in it, which deters the squirrels mm-hmm. as well.
One of the products often mentioned on this show when people refer to wild birds, and that is the bark, the bird bark.
Yeah, the bark butter?
Bark butter, yes, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Bark butter is a great food year-round. And again, right now, so we have bark butter bits. And to put those out right now, it has all the ingredients that the nesting birds need right now. So it's got the fat and the protein, as well as the calcium. But then it also, in the fall, or more actually towards the winter, when they need the fat, because they're using up so much of it'll just trying to stay warm at night, they'll lose 10% of their body weight. So they're always looking for fat in their diet all through the winter. And then obviously again into the spring. So, again, it has the protein for the feathers and for the baby. So it is one of the foods that has attracted the largest variety of birds. And it comes in a couple of different, comes as you can spread it on a tree. You can get it in little bits. There's a couple of different ways you can get it.
And special holders too, right? Special cages.
Especially for the bark butter itself. The bark butter bits can generally go into a feeder.
One of the things that I think we emphasize when we talk about Wild Birds Unlimited, when you buy bird seed at Wild Birds Unlimited, there's no waste.
Yes, we have the no mess blends, which have no shells. So every bit of it is edible. And the other good thing about it is when you buy a bag of it, it's actually twice as much edible food as the bags with the shells on it. So there's no waste. You don't get the mess on the ground, the sprouting, when the shells come off and then you get the sprouts of the sunflower seeds. You don't get any of that because pretty much every bit of it gets eaten up.
Which is very good. By the way, you have a program available for people who buy merchandise at Wild Birds Unlimited.
Yes, we have a program called the Daily Savings Club, and that is it's a investment of $25 a year, and you get 15% off all your bird food all the time. If there's a sale on bird food, you get an additional 5% off, and then every no matter what you spend money on, every dollar you spend, you get a point towards when you reach 200 points, you get a $10 coupon to the store.
Every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps these days, Jack. You are exactly right.
One thing I do believe over the years, we've talked about bird stores per se. There were a number of other franchises out there which now have kind of disappeared because of the superiority of Wild Birds Unlimited. But you always seem to be were ahead of everything else. You were always had came up with innovative ideas for birds, which is really, I guess, a task at times, but certainly worth it.
Yes, I think so. Obviously, it's a franchise, and the franchise is tremendous at keeping ahead. You know, I think the founder of the franchise, who's the person who came up with the bark butter bits, you know, he's so passionate about it and absolutely, he's just all about the birds and finding new ways, better ways of attracting them to your yard, you know, which is good because once, if you attract, let's say now we've got orioles coming through soon, we've got hummingbirds coming back, we're going to have grosbeaks coming back, we're going to have all these birds that are coming north just to nest, and then they're going to go back south again.
Right.
And, you know, if once they get to your yard and they find your yard, well, they're young, nowhere to go next year when they're going to be nesting, they come back to that yard. So, I do think you're right. They've done a very good job being innovative and finding excellent ways of attracting birds to the backyard.
I think it's really neat, first of all, when people have questions about what to do with birds, what house to use, what feeder to use, what food, et cetera, they ask your personnel at the stores because they know.
They do. They do, and that's one of the things. You know, there's so much information available out there, and again, our franchise makes so much information available to us and works very hard to keep information so that we're constantly learning and keeping up with things, too.
How many times a day are you asked questions about birds?
Depends on how many customers come in.
But
a lot.
do people, because of the knowledge of your ownership of three stores, if you were grocery shopping, will people come up and say, Heather, I have this bird?
Yes. I do get a lot of questions. Actually, the mother of one of my son's friends, she called me. I just found a cardinal, and he was sitting on the side of the road. And what do I do with him? And he can't move. And so you get all kinds of questions all day long.
Well, it is such a treat to have you with us in the backyard, Heather. We are so grateful, and we hope. We'll talk to you about once a month, I understand. To bring us up to date on what's happening at Wild Birds, and I'm grateful for that.
Yes, well, thank you so much, Jack. I really appreciate this.
You take good care, and if you don't mind me saying, good birding.
Yes, excellent. Thank you.
Thanks again, Heather. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is Backyard, Jack's Backyard on News Talk 830. That would be WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. Great talk. Thank you, Heather. Thank you so much for joining us in the backyard today. Wild Birds Unlimited has been a sponsor of this program since the very beginning. And we're good to have Heather Peterson back with us. That's great. Okay. It is 9:29. Hour number two of the backyard right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. Let's go back to the phones. Say good morning to Mindy. Mindy, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Jack. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, so I actually had a few things. I wanted to ask a question about bird feeders. I heard somebody say once, like, if you don't clean them, like, birds can get diseases, and then you'll attract like sick birds, and I don't know if that's true.
Oh,
we have a few bird feeders.
It's very true, especially when you consider for example, if it rains, the bird food becomes damp, and damp bird food spreads disease.
So it's a very good idea. And also, a couple of times a year, you just go ahead and dump all the old seed out, clean it, and put it back up again with fresh seed.
Okay, good to know. I'm definitely going to do that. I don't know if you can hear my bird on my shoulder squawking at you.
Yes, I can.
This is Jack's backyard. The other thing is my family really wanted me to tell you about the fact that we found a baby squirrel like a week and a half ago. Just perfectly healthy little baby squirrel clutched to the ground, and we actually ended up bringing it in and feeding it for like a day or two, which, just in case anybody's wondering, you do not want a pet squirrel. They are extremely stinky, and as cute as they are, I'm thankful for Red Creek Wildlife Center because they actually took the baby squirrel for us.
Yeah, that very, very good, but you're absolutely right. And that goes for other wildlife creatures, too. You know, you just got to be very, very careful. And the law protects many of them, so keep that in mind as well.
Well, I'm thankful for the people that are out there, like, doing that. Like, truly thankful for people who are, like, this is their full-time job. Like, they rehabilitate wild animals because it is not for the faint of heart. It's 24-hour work.
Wow.
So thank you to all those people.
Yeah, Red Creek is just, I can't say enough about them, and they just are incredible people, dedicated, as you have said very well. And if you can support them, please do. We can't do without them.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just the last thing I wanted to mention to anybody listening is that it's swarm season, which means you're probably going to be seeing like clusters of bees in your yard or in a bush or in a tree or maybe on your mailbox. And just to, you know, give us a call or somebody local who would so happily come out there and take those bees and put them in a box and give them a new home.
Now, by the way, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mindy, 484-269-1833.
Nope, you are correct.
Oh, good.
Thanks, Doc.
I wanted to mention that because we often get, what do I do with a swarm? What do I do with all of these bees? And all you have to do is call Mindy.
And that's right. And we'll come out and my fiance Josh, who's so passionate about this, will tell you all about it because he's the one that this is like his heart and soul. And when he's catching the swarms, there'll be like bees flying, like crawling around on his head and his neck. And it doesn't bother him at all. And it's actually very entertaining to watch. So,
Mindy, how often do we concern ourselves with bee swarms?
Right now, it's going to be all the time.
Okay.
This is like the season, like spring, pretty much all of spring and maybe a little early summer. And then you may see some later in the summer, but that's just because there's beehives that get too full and nobody splits them, so they separate. But it's a totally natural thing. Like, it's the way the bees, like, repopulate the earth. So it's a very good thing.
Have you and Josh noted an absence in bees or a decline in population?
In our yard, no.
Okay.
That's 'cause we have, like, 25 beehives. So
that's a lot of honey.
Yeah, it is a lot of honey, and the honey's great. We'll have to give you a jar of our honey just so you can tell everybody about it.
What is the most popular honey? Is it wildflowers? Is it clover honey? What is the most popular?
I would just say that depends on who's asking, because a lot of people like the really light honey that is being made right now,
mm-hmm.
but then a lot of people like the really dark honey, which is it's goldenrod, basically. At least on our property, it's goldenrod. All those yellow flowers, they make dark honey out of that. So, I mean, I personally love the light honey, but everybody's different. So
that's
I don't really know what everybody feels, but.
Well, all they have to do is check with Mindy at 484-269-1833.
Thank you, Jack.
Great to
always love listening to your show.
Thank you. Good to talk with you, Mindy. Thanks for the call.
All righty. Bye-bye then.
Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. That's great. Bees. Yeah, we're nature. Birds, bees, bears, beavers, whatever. It's all nature, right? Right here. in the backyard. It's 25 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock. We're in hour number two of The Backyard right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. It's nesting season, and Wild Birds Unlimited has what you need to take care of our feathered friends. Their nest boxes have proper drainage to keep baby birds dry, equipped with a two-way opening system that makes cleaning and monitoring a breeze. Calcium is one of the most challenging minerals for birds to find when they need it most. And Wild Birds Unlimited's nesting super blend bird food will provide that essential mineral, protein, and for fledging families. So be a good neighbor to the birds. Visit Wild Birds Unlimited at their Sinking Spring store on Shillington Road and or along Lancaster Avenue in Wayne, and also on Tillman Street in Allentown. Wild Birds Unlimited. A treat to have Heather with us today on the program. Right now is 24 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock. Matt, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Jack, and I'm having a great day. It's beautiful up here on North Lookout.
Oh, the sun warming you up?
Yes, it is. It's going to be a warm day. Northwest winds are light. But we've already had three broad wings, and they're very high. Not many clouds today. So this could be a challenging day to spot broad wings, as you know. It goes.
What numbers do we see most in the spring, Matt?
Okay, yesterday they had 101 broad wings, and I guess they're probably over 400 now.
Okay.
We're getting close to 500. For the spring, and they'll keep counting until the 15th of May.
All righty.
Yeah, well, we should do very well if the skies are cooperate, because yesterday Derby Hill had a few thousand, and they're coming up the East Coast, so we just got to find them here at Hawk Mountain. They've had osprey, harriers, of course, bald eagles, red shoulders, some falcons. So the usual species they get in the fall, just, you know, the much smaller numbers.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing a good number of neotropicals, songbirds?
Not yet.
Okay.
I've heard, I think I may have heard my first black and white today, blue-headed vireo a couple of days ago. Down in Pine Swamp Road, Louisiana water thrush down there. And, of course, you've had pine warblers,
mm-hmm,
and palms. But it's funny how it can take a few days if people see neotropicals down there around Redding, Noddy Forest. It takes them a while to get up to the northern part of the county.
Okay.
You'd think they'd be up there the next day, but no, sometimes it's a week or more before you find them.
Wow. That's an interesting fact. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I remember Ken LeBeau.
Yes.
He would say, I've got this and this and this down here. And we said, we don't have them yet. So,
is the neotropical migration greater in the spring than the fall at the mountain?
I think it's greater in the fall.
Okay.
I mean, it's Pine Swamp Road down there, State Game Lands 106, where the AT crosses. That can be very good in the spring. But as far as the numbers, they like North Lookout in the fall. And you know how many hundreds we can get during that time.
Yes, especially early in the morning.
Yes, definitely sunrise.
Yes.
It doesn't hurt to have a lantern to come up the path in the morning.
A lot of people don't want to get up that early, but boy, if you're a bird watcher, that's when you have to get up.
You do, and stay for a couple hours, you know, 3 hours, and then if you're not interested in counting hawks, which I don't understand, but then you can go back home and mow the lawn or whatever else you need to do.
Very good.
I'm up here with a couple trainees today, Madeline from Spain and Alexandra came all the way from Shillington.
That's great. That's wonderful to be among the young people. That's wonderful.
And they're good, too.
That's great. Always good to chat with you, young man.
Well, thank you, Jack. You have a good day.
I will if you will.
I sure will.
Okay, bye-bye. There's my good friend Matt from the North Lookout at Hawk Mountain Sanctuary. Yes, indeed. That's great. All righty, where are we? Right here. Right here with Georgia. Good morning, young lady. How are you today?
Good morning, Jack. Well, I had a rough start this morning, but my spirits were immediately lifted when I saw what was at my feeder. I have a male and female grosbeak this morning.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, that's great.
They're just beautiful. Just beautiful.
And I think we had one reported last week, but I think the pair, that's the first for the show.
We always get them when in migration. I mean, for years we've always had them come through, and sometimes they stick around for as long as a week. I mean, we have a wooded area here, so they seem to be happy here. As long as we have the feeders full, they stick around for a while. So we've really been enjoying it this morning, though. It was a nice thing to see first thing in the morning. And I wanted to tell you that I always keep a journal of when I see unusual birds like that, and this is the earliest they have ever been through. It's usually the other early date was May 2nd,
okay.
But this is the earliest we've ever seen them. So, yeah, things are really happening quickly.
But you're waiting for a hummingbird, aren't you?
You know that, yes, I am. I put the feeder up probably about 10 days ago, so I've been impatiently waiting.
Are your records, you had to wait, or will they be on schedule? What's your take on that?
On the hummingbird arrival?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, let me just real quick go check my calendar. I think it was April the 21st.
Okay.
Is when we had them last year. And then another date that seems like it comes up pretty often would be like April the 27th, a few days, you know, later than that. But, yeah, so if one shows up today, it'll definitely be my earliest hummingbird.
Our fingers are crossed for you, Georgia.
Thanks, Jack. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. The Backyard, that's us, 610-374-8800. Out of the area, it is toll-free, 888-401-0459. And there are lines open for you, Mike, there's one for you, too. That would be me, yes. And it's good to have you aboard on The Backyard today. The annual Earth Day, Berks County, is being held today, City Park, Banshell, noon to 6 p.m., rain or shine. It's going to be a shiny day. It's going to be a great day for the Earth Day, Berks County. So go and enjoy. Free event, on-street parking, activities for kids, food trucks, live music all day, lots of vendors and organizations, which represent good health for our earth and community. The amazing event will be held, or has been held in Berks since 1989. So it's today, Earth Day, City Park, noon to 6 p.m. Back to the phones we go, and Blaine, good morning to you. How are you today, young man?
I'm fine, Jack. Question, somebody asked me about purple martins. They have a nest box up. They had them years ago. Did they come through here? They call them blue martins. I think they're purple martins.
That's correct. You're right.
Do we have any around the area?
Yes, we do, but they're very rare.
I see a bunch of boxes up, you know, with the condo thing going on high up in the sky, but she just asked me. So they're around. Do you feed them? Do you do anything with them or just have the box up?
Well, if you're fortunate enough, first of all, the boxes have to be up, and they should be open now, cleaned and open now for them. They usually pop in from late March, but normally in April, and then they will. The males come and establish the territory, and then you keep your fingers crossed that they stay and raise a family. They
so
are.
They're just, There's a possibility then.
Absolutely the possibility, but they're not feeder birds, Blaine.
Okay.
They are insect eaters, and if you have purple martins in your backyard, you won't have any mosquitoes or any other.
Right, so they're kind of like the silver swallows or whatever, the barn swallows that fly through and just pick things off like bats do.
Absolutely. They're members of the swallow family.
Okay, well, very good. I will tell this person what I just learned from you.
But please tell them to be patient. It's a very hard bird to attract. I wish there was a surefire way to do it. Unfortunately, there isn't.
Right. Keep the box clean and everything.
Absolutely.
And then just cross your fingers and watch the bluebirds while you're waiting.
I like that. Very good, Blaine. Yeah, absolutely.
Righty, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Jack's Backyard. 610-374-8800. Out of the area, it is toll-free 888-401-0459. And I would certainly welcome a call from you and you too today. As I often do when I have time, I'm fortunate to have a little book called Birdpedia, B-I-R-D-P-E-D-I-A, Birdpedia, written by Christopher Leahy, a brief compendium of avian lore. And one of the things they have in the book is the different sizes, weights, and so forth of birds. And I find it interesting, and I find that I learn something every time I go into the book. The largest living bird, what do you think it is? You're right, the common ostrich, some of which stand 8 to 9 feet tall and weigh almost 350 pounds. That's the one, the common ostrich. There's another one called the Somali ostrich, probably similar. Their living relatives, the cassowaries, emu, and rays, are all from that family. Yeah, so the ostrich is the largest living bird. Let's see, what else here? Largest bird known to have lived. The longest bird known to have lived. Well, let's see here. The giant moa, M-O-A, of New Zealand, a wingless relative of the ostrich that stood as high as 13 feet with a neck extended and weighed more than 500 pounds, is the tallest known bird. However, the giant elephant bird of Madagascar, which stood a mere 9 to 10 feet tall, is the heaviest known bird, weighing in at more than 950 pounds. So there you have the largest living bird, the largest birds known to have lived. You want another one? Well, let's see. The largest flying bird known to have lived. A recently discovered fossil of a prehistoric condor relative, the giant teratorn, lived in the late Miocene era 6 to 8 million years ago. Gosh, even I wasn't around then. But anyway, that was in South America. It's estimated to have weighed about 180 pounds with a wingspan of between 20 and 26 feet. A rival for the wingspan record is another recently discovered teratorn, the Pelagormus sanderi, a denizen of the some 25 million years ago. So you go out bird watching and expect to see them, you can forget it because they're not around anymore. So I'll save that and refer to that a bit later on as we move merrily along on this program. 610-374-8800, out of the area. It is toll-free, 888-401-0459. At 8 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock, you've afforded me the opportunity to go back to the mockingbird. Which are you interested? I hope so. We just talked about the mockingbird and its ability to mimic different kinds of birds and even frogs and toads. Because of the northern mockingbird's impressive vocal talents, the illegal pet trade depleted their populations by poaching on the East Coast in the 19th century. The best singers were worth up to $50 in 1828. That's more than $1,300 in today's money. They're all protected now. So, northern mockingbirds have easily adapted to human development, taking up residence across suburban towns and even cities. Wide open lawns and parks are perfect for hunting their insect prey, and males often sing from perches like the tops of houses and telephone poles, where their performance can involve leaping into the air and fluttering back down. And if you want to attract mockingbirds, that's up to you, because once they come to your backyard, they have a tendency to be just a wee bit dominant. So, but fruit, they love fruit as well as the insects that we talk about. Mockers are prolific breeders. They have been known to make as many as 7 nesting attempts during a breeding season. I didn't know that. And one female even set an astonishing record of laying 27 eggs in a single season. Wow. See, I'm learning with you today. The white patches on the northern mockingbird's wings and outer tail feathers serve dual purposes. The birds often show off these plumes during mating rituals, and they also flash them when defending their territory from potential predators like hawks and snakes. So there you have it. Mockingbirds can be extraordinarily territorial, and I emphasize that as I alluded to it earlier. They've been known to swoop and dive at pretty much anything, including people, that get close to their nests, which are usually placed between 3 and 10 feet off the ground. They also regularly chase other birds away from preferred food sources, like fruit-bearing trees in the wintertime. So if, as I warned you earlier, if you put out bird food, and the birds, the mockingbird decides that he likes it, they'll defend that, and they'll keep other birds away. So plan accordingly, okay? So I have a little bit more information on the mockingbird, which I will save and share with you sometime. So let's see. We have 5 minutes before the hour of 10. Do I have time for Mike? Mike, we have about 2 minutes. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. That's about all it'll take.
Okay.
We go down to Chincoteague, Virginia a lot, and that's a marshy area, and there's a refuge drive. And every now and then we encounter a snapper turtle, and it is good to leave them alone, but every now and then there's cars going by, and we want to be a good Samaritan and get them off the road. So if, and I stress if, you must move a snapping turtle, be very careful. But a lot of people think, well, I'll just pick them up by the tail, and that's bad. That hurts their spine. And then they think, well, I'll just grab them at the sides. Well, they have a very long neck, and they might be able to get you reaching around with their neck. So now I Googled this, and I tried it one time, and I still have all my digits, so apparently it works. at the back of their shell, above their tail, there's a little shelf or lip of their shell that sticks out over their table. You grab that, and you drag them backwards. And you won't hurt them, and I haven't been hurt. But sometimes you just want to do the right thing and be a good Samaritan. That's how you should, you know, approach it.
Well, various. I did not know that. That is absolutely great, Mike, to learn.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your great show.
I always appreciate chatting with a fellow Chincoteague lover.
Oh, we are.
That's great. Take good care and enjoy the day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All righty. That winds up the calls for the day. Thank you all. Thank you all for the phone calls. Thanks again to Heather Peterson for joining us in the backyard and sharing with us Wild Birds Unlimited. Good to have them back as a sponsor. Okay. So thank you for the phone calls. Remember, it's always a treat. And if we hear you with a problem and I can't answer it, which is most likely, we have helping hands out there that can do it for us. And that's always great to know. I am so grateful for those people that email me or they'll call the program and share their knowledge. It's really most satisfying. Satisfying having Sean Tansky with us today as well. So thank you, Sean, for producing. Do appreciate that. The email address is jkhbird@aol.com, jkhbird@aol.com. The snail mail address, Jack's Backyard, WEEU, 34 North 4th Street, Reading, Pennsylvania, 19601. Thought for the day comes from D.H. Lawrence, who said, I watch in the morning when I wake up a blackbird. He seems as if he's singing, were a sort of talking to himself or thinking aloud his strongest thoughts. I wish I was a blackbird like him. We have to get out of here. Make way for news. ABC has That's for you next right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and Beyond. Then it's on to classic rock on this Saturday morning. For producer Sean Tansky, yours truly, Jack Holcomb, hoping you will enjoy this beautiful day. Just be sure you think about a bluebird along the way, okay?
The Voice of Berks and Beyond, 830 WEEU, Reading.